Blog Talk Radio.
Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team fucking here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Next, started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team fucking here. I done kept it real from the jump.
They don't know. What I've been through.
We got London on the track.
They don't know the hell. They only know what I tell them. They don't know about the brand new cars we bought. They don't know about the brand new house. They don't know about the brand new chick that I just fought with some good head. That's a brand new mouth. They don't know about the brand new cars we bought. They don't know about the brand new house. They don't know about the brand new chick that I just fought with some good head. That's a brand new mouth. About, they don't know about the brand new house. They don't know about the brand new chick that I just fought with some good head. That's a brand new mouth. They don't know about the brand new belt on a Rolex. Now the motherfucker got a brand new Glock. They don't know about the brand new chopper for the same old head. A nigga mad, cause a nigga can't stop. They don't know about the old school work that I keep put up. When I pull it out, they be like, who that? They don't know about the old school days when a nigga had ways. I swear every night I was through it. They don't know about the old school day. Magic City was jamming, nigga want to see some booty. Got an old school hoe trying to school me. So I'ma hit that pussy from the back, make a screen like.
All right, Grudge fans, welcome to another edition of the Grudgy Tipsy Tuesday Talk Show in the afternoons. This is your boy, Chi-Town Beard, man. We're going to start this thing up again. Had a good show last week, and we want to carry it on this week, man, and highlight what's going on around the country, man. We got some big races coming up. In the Midwest, we got some big races coming up over east, and we got some big races coming up down south, man. And I had a lock-in last night. A guy out of Mississippi, B-Lope, Brian Lope, locked his car in for Mandrell's race on the 29th over in Macon. Twiggs County. He's coming over to Shut Up and Race. It's a big stage, man. Shut Up and Race is a big stage, and I definitely like to be on the big stage and do some racing. And we went on locked in. Got a streak style G-Body invitation only shootout, so I'm getting in that. And I told him after the shootout, we locked in for 10 p.m. or so. As long as the shootout is over with, he don't want to be there all night. I don't want to be there all night. But both of us got street style full interior G bodies, man. That thing is hot. Them G bodies is hot. Street style G bodies is hot, man. And one of the reasons why they're hot, man, it don't take a lot of money to build one and to be competitive. You're not having to do all the cage work and, you know, the Mensa shocks and all the stuff that you have to do to get one of these top flight 28 or 29 cars going down the track, having to run those type of numbers. So it's more of a budget deal, and you get the same adrenaline, the same high. Racing those type of cars, and then racing one of these fast 29 cars, you know. But it all depends on what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish. But today, man, we're gonna it's a little potluck. We're gonna have a couple of discussions. Waiting for a few callers to call in and get it cracking, man. Again, this show, man, I want to get some of the the hometown heroes on, man, not so much of the publicity or the known people across the country. I want to get the middle guys that don't get all the shine. I want to get them on and talk some stuff, man, because that's the local guys is what going. You know, if it weren't for the local talent, the guys that's coming in every week, every other week, these tracks will close. You know, so want to get some of those type of guys on. Jay Barnes gonna come on a little later on because they got a race coming up over in Shadyside, Scotty G's race. We had Scotty G on last week, and they also got one coming up in Twiggs County, Tony Bynes race. August 19th. They're about to start building on that, doing a lot of promotions on that because, you know, Tony is one of the stalwarts of the Grudge game, and he doesn't have a lot of races per se. He goes to a lot of races, but, you know, he doesn't have, you know, a lot of races. He goes to a lot of races. It takes a lot of work to put together a race. People just think you just, you know, post a couple of pics or flyers on Facebook and people just going to show up. But it's a whole lot that goes behind the scenes. And if you do it maybe once or twice a year, the day after the race is the best feeling, man. Successful or not, you're just glad it's over because there's so much anticipation, so much work that goes into, you know, especially if the ones you're trying to give the fans something to see. It takes a lot of work to put on a big national race, especially if you're trying to get people to come from out of town. You got to make sure they got somewhere safe to stay. You got to make sure that their accommodations is up to par. You don't want to put them in a cheesy hotel. You don't want to put them in an unsafe environment where their valuables can be stolen. Then once they get to the track, you want to make sure that they got the right spots. And then you got family and friends coming in and from out of town. There's just so much to do when you are trying to put together a race, man. It's nice. Believe me, you know, if you don't think so, if you think it's all just glory and making a whole bunch of money, man, let's try it out. But I'm waiting on to one of my buddies to call in. Hold on. Let me see if I can call him from the show. One of the guys that's definitely going to be on the center stage. He has so much wealth of knowledge and a flip mouth. Let me see if we can get him on the show.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 3129.
No, he didn't answer this yet. He didn't answer this yet. But again, yes, some good shows coming up. My buddy Ron, he got his show is this weekend at 41 Motorplex, 21st this Friday to Saturday. He got $10,000. He's giving away. Well, not giving it away. Somebody got to win it. You got to win that money. You just can't just show up. That's one thing about this grudge thing, about this race. Ain't nobody just going to give it to you. You got to earn it. You got to go some rounds. So we got that. We got that coming up this weekend. And we got Big Drag. He is having a race over at 41 too. First weekend of August. So any guys in the Midwest area, South, East, want to go over there and support those guys, man. It's a real nice facility. It's my home track. Even though I live in Georgia, I still consider myself the king of 41. And if anybody don't like it, do something about it. Because I'll be back up there this year, once, maybe twice. I'm coming up to Michigan. Yeah, Wayne and Peso, they have a race up in Michigan, August 25th, 26th, or 24th, 25th. The last, you know what? I'll never forget it. It's August 26th. That's the same day Floyd Mayweather fights McGregor. You know, so now I want to say this. This is a Tuesday show. It's a Grudge Talk show. But hey, we can talk about anything on this show. I want to open up. We can talk about religion. We can talk about politics. We can talk about drag racing. We can talk about anything. You know, because it ain't just about racing. It's about this. Racing is a lifestyle. You know. You meet a lot of people through racing, but, you know, we still have different issues. And this racing stuff, man, it can take a toll on you. You know, this racing, man, gets between husband and wife. I just want to say this. I was guy I met down here. My wife is good friends with his wife. That's how I met him. He drag raced bikes, so. My wife introduced me to him or whatever, and they was walking past my job yesterday. They was at a tire store next door. So, make a long story short, we got to talking, and the man came out of his mouth and said, we were talking about, you know, nitrous prices sky high, can't find nitrous. And he said, man, I was in South Carolina this weekend, and I got me some fuel over there. And his wife looked. They said, you went to South Carolina this weekend? I didn't know that. But it just showed me how when this racing thing, man, we just talk freely with one another, but we also keep stuff from our significant others. My wife don't know everything about this drag racing stuff. You know, if she did with a lot of people, you know, it probably wouldn't be married. You know. So it just showed me somebody that, like him, is an ordinary Joe. He's in the freaking military. He's in the Air Force, but he loves racing bikes. And we had a conversation before where, man, she don't know everything I do about these bikes. She don't even know about this bike here. Because one, she don't even come to the garage. He got two garages. One of them, he got two bikes in there with his buddy bike and his bike that he just bought. Then he got another bike in the main garage that she parks a car. She knows all about that bike. But, you know, and it was a point when I was back in Chicago, I had three Mustangs at one time. And I would let my old lady know, I was like, man, listen, that's my buddies over there. But that was my freaking car. Well, man, this drag racing thing, man, it's something else, man. But I'm trying to get my buddy on the phone. Hold on one second. Hold on one second. Hold on. Hold on. Let me call this guy here. We can talk about this thing.
Hello.
When you try to promote someone's race, man, they got to answer the phone. They got to be on the phone. You know, I was telling this to the fans about, you know what? Why I'm calling you? I should be calling Boss because it's Boss Race, right?
Boss Bynes. Yeah, Boss Bynes.
Yeah.
August
the
19th.
August
yeah.
the 19th. I told him. I said that, Boss Bynes, he goes to everybody's track every other week, so, but he don't throw a lot of races. But, you know, this is his one time he's going to throw a race, and he want a little support, you know, want a little support. Do you have anything to tell the fans what this weekend might be about, that race? I guess you're trying to get Boss on the phone. Yeah. So, anybody got any questions or concerns, push the one button. We just starting this up, so we don't have a lot of people on. We got double digits, but not a lot of people. But like I said, we got a race coming up in at 41 this weekend. Scotty G's race over East next weekend. Mandrell's race is if you guys together. Hello.
Yeah.
your boss on?
No, he didn't answer. He didn't answer.
Okay. Well, go ahead and tell the fans something. I'm going to try to get him on, Jay. Go ahead and tell the fans something. I'm trying to get him on.
Okay, Grudge World and, you know, slash the No Time Shootout World, you know. You know, I've been advocating the fact that, or just highlighting the fact that the Grudge World is slowly turning into a shootout world, and ain't nothing wrong with that. That's just what the times are. You know, now it always boils down to everybody want to know what kind of shootout you got. They don't want to come to the race unless you got, you know, shootout race, and that's just what it is. It ain't no shade on it, but. You know, I'm a firm believer in let's call it what it is. You know, we don't need to keep telling everybody that we grudge racers. You know, we have become shootout racers, you know. And I'm talking about the vast majority. There are still some true grudge racers out there, but they are, you know, the numbers are thin. So, you know, I'm going to say this. On July the 29th at Shadyside, a band of grudge racers coming in called the Pro Grudge Racers, who are looking for grudge racing. And August the 19th in Macon, Georgia, the Pro Grudge Racers are coming to the zoo. And, you know, the main issue we're having is that, you know, there is no grudge racers. Nobody want a grudge race. Now, you know, you're gonna have about five people that get on, I grudge race, and they do. But for every five grudge racers, there's 500 shootout racers. And that's all they're concerned about. What's the shootout? What's the payout? You know, we race for other people's money. There's no time, but we race for other people's money. No time, other people's money. And so, That's the climate we in now, and we might as well embrace it. I'm not, you know, I like grudge racing. But, you know, society, the racers like no-time shootouts. So in the world of no-time shootouts, that's where we are. So that's what we'll talk about, you know. I'm sure they got some shootouts
let me say this. One of the reasons why the racers like the no time shootouts, and it's just they can put okay. When the shootouts start coming up our way, it was a buy in, so it was a $250 almost really a $500 buy in, and we didn't have no problem with putting $500 up for buy in. When I came down here, they were having no freaking buy ins down here. It was just straight up free, but what happened, you know, where I was at, people would come to the track, put 500 up, and they like, shoot, they got a chance to win 3,000 for putting up 500. Whereas if you want to win 3,000 on a grudge race, you got to put 3,000 up. So what it has done was crippled grudge racing because people would say, I chance 500, but shoot, man, I'm scared to chance 3,000. Now, that's the reality of it. People want to get oil coming down here where it ran amok. If people was coming in these damn 28, 29 shootouts, not putting no money up, none, zero, and got a chance to win almost $10,000. So people in their mind was like, well, I keep my hard-earned money and just fix my car or upgrade my car, but if I want to race it, I'll go to a shootout, try to win $10,000, and if I want to bet a little bit, $300-$400, you know, to get my gas money that came here, I'll do that each round. So what shootouts have done systematically is crippled the grudge game because they're not chancing. It's no chance. It's you're not chancing your money. So that I think that's what really happened to grudge racing slash shootout racing.
Well, I agree. I'm not saying that the transition, I'm not saying it was an intelligent choice. I'm not saying that, you know, it might be the best thing for the racer. I'm not. No, I'm not arguing that at all. But what I'm saying is, why then do we continue to try to call ourselves grudge racers? Why, you know, see, nobody want to, you know, grudge racer is an elite title. It gives credibility. But why don't we just call ourselves then what we are? You know, we no time shootout racers. Why we just can't be the shootout racers?
Because it don't have that swing. Okay, 3 years ago it was a phenomenon, a big thing when people were selling cars. You know, 3 years ago, you know, everybody had a car for sale. But what was the freaking title that was put on the car that was for sale? Grudge car. If you looked on Yellow Bullet, Racing Junk, all those sites, the first thing they said was grudge car.
Yeah,
and it gave them some credibility on what type of car it was. You know, you never see them put on the headline class car for sale.
Yeah,
I haven't said that.
Yeah,
nobody ever said that. But
at the last PDRA race when they had match racing going on, what they call it, grudge racing at the last duck race when they had some match racing coming up, what do they call it? Grudge racing. And, you know, I'm
it
just
gives
saying.
Them,
but listen, I don't. You know, all I'm saying is, then, all right, Via, this is my example. There's a difference between a wife and a girlfriend. Now they both may serve some of the similar. There's some similar things that occur for the wife, for a man who has a wife and a man who has a girlfriend. Not the same man not having both, I'm saying, but a man who have a wife. You know, some of the same functions carry on. But you know, the wife is an elite position that, you know, that carries a certain amount of respect in relations to that man. Now, you would not normally call a man's girlfriend his wife. You know, because she hadn't made it to that degree. She hadn't earned that full respect yet. Now, she could be the best girlfriend in the world, and, you know, you could even say we are engaged so that she can become a wife. You know, in other words, we're in the process of making her great. So why we can't do that in grudge racing? We know what the elite thing is. It's grudge racing. It's elite. Mm-hmm. But 90% of the cars out here don't grudge race. They shootout racers. They no time shootout racers. So we know why can't we just tell them, hey,
90%.
Okay, 98. I'm going up to 98. I'm going up to 98.
You gotta go down.
I'm going up to 98. You know,
I think,
but I was just trying to be liberal.
What's happening is, I think what it is the shootout is being more publicized through the eyes of.
But you're proving my point. If it's being publicized, let's label it to what it is. These are not grudge races. These are shootout races. You know, I'm not saying if it get more publicity, if it's doing what it do, let's call it what it is. Let's look at who was the top shootout racers this week. Who's the top?
So last year, did you have for the grudging award banquet? Did you have a category for shootout king?
The grudging, and we deal with grudge racers. We deal with wives. We don't deal with girlfriends. We honor wives. You know, if you notice, we honor wives. We don't honor girlfriends. So
okay, what about fat chicks?
That. So what I'm saying is,
what about fat chicks? I got a text.
Well,
I got a text.
Okay. Well, read the text, man.
Hold on.
Huh?
Hold on.
Read the text.
Shootouts bring action for the fans.
I agree. Man, you still proving my point. I agree. Shootouts bring action for the fans. They, you know, all kind of great things. The shootout is great. I'm not trying to say anything. The shootout is great. Let me say it again. The shootout is great. But I'm just saying, let's call them shootout racers. So let's give them the name that they perform.
But call them shootout racers. Would that take on a negative tone towards them? If you just call them
why
shootout
would
racers?
It? Hey, would you be why betraying? Would it if it's hey? Why would it be a negative when you just said we just agreeing how great it is? Why would it be a negative to be what you are?
Okay, I got a question. Say throughout the 2017 season,
uh-huh.
I get in 8 shootouts.
Okay.
And I grudge race 3 times. And I won all 3 times, my grudge race. What am I?
Okay. In my world, a transvestite. You pretend to be one thing, but you're another. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on. Reason I got in 8 shootouts because there was only 3 guys that were strong enough or felt they were strong enough to race me. Because karate's bad. Karate's okay. that damn thing right now. You understand me?
Right. Most feared car. The most feared street car. Yeah.
G-body. So,
G-body.
Matches on 28. Yeah. So,
okay.
So, if I go to a track, if I go over to Montgomery, Alabama, and well, nobody in my category move won't do nothing. But they got a 4-car shootout with street car G bikes, and I throw my name in the hat because won't nobody else move, and I win that shootout. Then I come back over to Twigs, and only cars that want to run me is freaking Mustangs, and I finally get somebody that want to run me, Rhodey, and I knock him off, but I get in the G-body shootout, and I win that. What am I?
Well, again, listen, I'm not trying to belittle the shootout racers. I'm just trying to identify them of who they are. I see, some kind of way is being said that I'm trying to belittle the shootout racer. No, I said the shootout racer is a guy that we need. He race. I mean, he brings action. I can give you all the proper things that a shootout racer does. The thing that belittles me is if shootout racing is so great, which I think it is, why we just can't identify them as who they are? Now, I'm going to give you an example of a great shootout racer. I'm going to give you an example. Zabo. And everybody know it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you speak about a shootout in Zabo, there is no tarnish on it. No, everybody.
You gotta use somebody else because you gotta use.
Why? But I'm just saying, if he is the man that exemplifies what it is.
No.
Some people do.
No, I don't. I never heard no one that put Grudge and Zabo in the same sentence. Now, you know what? I have heard him say Zabo will Grudge race Jimbo. I did hear that. But I have never heard someone say, coming to Milan, Michigan, Grudge King Zay.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Zabo, and again, was not Zabo just named the Grudge Racer of the Week about 2 weeks ago?
Hold on. What are you if you're a shootout or gamble every round? That's the text. I guess they're looking at the grudging rule book. But I got a
mouth is open. What's happening, Bill? What's happening, J Bond?
I think he took over. He's looking at the grudge. Yeah, I think he's. I think he's looking at the grudge. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, nephew?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to say that, Zabo do participate in his fair share of shootouts, but he also grudge races too. He's been on the show several times, and he's clearly said, you know, the reason for him getting in the shootouts is because he don't have to deal with all of the arguments and the rhetoric that go along with, you know, trying to get a grudge race. But if he could get a grudge race or find somebody that won a grudge race, he will definitely entertain that. So I just think that he's a guy that wears two different hats, and he'll shoot out and he'll grudge.
I think last year's like stat, I'm gonna put that in there. Just as I think Zabo, if that's what we're still talking about, and I want to say this too. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we got the world greatest grudge racers on the line, Biz, and I ain't got to even tell you who that is. But now, I think last year Zabo ended. It is 7-0. I mean 7-0 last year. Zabo's record from grudge racing last year. But go ahead. I got the world's greatest grudge racer on.
Biz. What's up, Biz?
Okay. Oh, you got Tony Bynes on.
What up, Tony?
What's up,
man?
Oh, Biz.
Hey, what was my name? Hey, Jay, what was my name?
Wiz? Tony, he never knew who Biz.
Yeah,
he said, Wiz. Yeah, tell Wiz to call me. Tell Wiz to call me. Tony could never remember who Biz was. You know, what his name? He done went to Tony had been to Morocco about 4 times. He's still calling Biz Wiz. Yeah, tell Wiz to give me a call.
What happened, Tony?
Hey, boss.
Oh, ain't and grinding.
Go ahead, boss.
You ain't did nothing wrong. But, hey, I just want to say something, Tony, before you get started, because I know you long-winded. Biz, I'm kind of like following Jay. Like, what's wrong with a person identifying with what they are? You know, so if a man get up on a scalpel every day and he clean windows, he's a window washer, right?
He's not a window installer. He's not a window installer.
He's not a window installer. He's a window washer. And the person that's on the opposite side of the glass that's sitting behind the desk is a secretary, right? So
she do not like to be called a secretary. She's an administrative assistant.
Okay.
See, that's the thing. She's an administrative assistant, or she's an office manager.
Okay. Well, listen,
when you call her something that she don't like, she gonna tell you.
Okay.
I'm a third racer, but I do nothing to scout.
Okay, Biz.
You ain't no grudge racer, Biz. That's not a grudge racer.
Biz, if I walked into the Museum of Natural History, right, and I see the fossils of a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and I say, oh, look at those fossils of that Tyrannosaurus Rex, and my son say, that's a bunch of bones. Well, at the end of the day, fossils and bones, they the same thing. So no matter if you put a scientific name on it, at the end of the day, it's still the same thing. So, I mean, if you want to bougie-fy a name for a person or a name for a specific group of people or individuals that's racing, then, hey, by all means, do that. But at the end of the day, by their peers and by the fans, they're still going to be looked at as the same thing. So what's so hard with you just, like Jay said, representing what you are, period.
Yeah. You're a secretary. But listen, before we get further, boss, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, boss.
Now, everybody been talking. I don't know if you know, you don't get a chance to hear all the stuff that we hear.
Right.
But everybody been saying this year you've been on fire, that you've been racing all over the country, kicking names, you know, kicking A's and taking names. Everywhere we talked, everybody been saying, you know. So, but in the grudge world, not the shootout world, in the grudge world, boss, as it relates to 29 to 315. Who's even coming close to you, grudge racing?
Oh, let me see. It'll probably be I don't know. Ain't really nobody really been consistent.
Right now, you since Biz is on the opposing side of the table today, Biz, do you dispute that Boss have exemplified 315 racing this year, and he by leaps and bounds out front of everybody?
I just want you to do one thing, Jay. Take the tire size out. Ain't nobody is in the stratosphere of all this is something grudge racing. But if you put that tire size in there, then you can't even put balls.
I'm talking about this year, Bill. We already know he's the greatest. We just talking about.
Exactly.
But we talking about this year.
Jay, I'm trying to save you, Jay. But ain't nobody has come close to Boss this year. Nobody.
Okay, but then I take the challenge, Biz. Who would you map race for race? Who have done more or equal to what Boss have done on 315 to 29? I'll take the challenge, Biz. I'll take the challenge.
315 or 29 days, what I'm telling you.
Yes, sir. I'm on 39, 49 days.
Biz, won't you check the tire size?
Now, when it comes, Boston took it back to drug racing. I ain't telling you what you put on your car. Don't you tell me what to put on my car. If you want to run for this money, come to the track, and I'm going to do it. That's the Boston
right.
Board.
I got pictures of Chopper. The pictures I got of Chopper got 315s on it. Until I see it otherwise, I'm going to stand with that. But
I've been running 31, Jay.
Boss, have you been racing, though? Okay, all right, then. I concede that, Biz. I concede the tie.
You know how they got it in baseball where they got mid-season awards. Now, if you go with mid-season, if you went with the end of the year category to the mid-season, most fear. Girls Racer of the Year, all that Boston won because ain't nobody done that.
Well, hold on. He ain't just the winner because nobody else haven't done anything. He's the winner because he have done so much.
I'm not gonna take
nothing away from him. I can tell you, we were down in Virginia. And Boss, he was trained to go.
Boss had a special going. Boss had a one-in-one special going.
Then he turned right around, and went to Maryland, and was giving out specials there too. So like I said, I can't take nothing away from him. You know, he did get up there. He did grudge race. He was engaging, and he was definitely walking around. Asking them, hey, anybody, he made his call outs on the mic, and hey, anybody on such and such and such and such on the premises, they can get it if they want it right now off the trailer. So, like I say, I'm gonna give him that. And then when he did that, he kind of like woke everybody up, when the action got to going, because no sooner than he got off. If I'm not mistaken. He woke up another young man, and then he woke Donye up, and Donye walked to the mic and say, anybody on the premises that has a grudge car can get it right now. So All I can tell you is, man, I think everything gonna continue to heat up, man. It's gonna get bigger and better as the year close out. But like I say, I take my hat off to him. He definitely did his thing. I just want to tell him, hey Tony.
Uh huh.
You know, when you placed that bet, I told you not to place that bet when you placed it. So you got to go with your. You got to go with your feeling, and you went with your feeling.
Which one was it?
You know, when we went down there, and I told you that it was Discovery Week, you know, and the Shark, you know, it was Shark Week, and that we was the
Discovery Channel.
You know, hey, it is what it is, though, man. But, hey, just keep doing what you're doing. That's all I can say. Keep doing
what you're doing. Well, let me ask y'all this. Y'all know that Boss – he traveled the country. He raced, you know. Nobody even argued that anymore. You know, at one time that used to be an issue in relations to Boss and his traveling and his escapades and how he acted. But Boss got a race coming up on August the 19th and in Macon, Georgia. Man, this would be the time for some of these people who already recognize him as the greatest all-time grudge racer to come and support. Man, you know, we need, sometimes we support the Street Outlaws. We support, Donald Long. What about sometimes supporting our own? You know, Tony is the greatest of all time. Tony is the man that all these people pattern themselves after. Can the grudge community hold and change that? Can the No Time Shootout community support their own for a change? I said that for Biz, nephew. You know.
I got something, Jay. Did you take it upon yourself? And I don't know. You put a couple people in the Grudge Hall of Fame. Did you put Tony in there yet? Is he down there?
Let me tell you this. No, Tony is not in the Hall of Fame. Tony is not in the Hall of Fame. Now, I'm gonna let Tony explain why he ain't in the Hall of Fame. Tony, why you ain't in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know, tell me.
God dog.
Now I'm gonna say this, Tony.
When,
how the hell he gonna put Philly Dog in there and don't put you in there?
You know, well listen, both men weren't they in there because they, you know, but Tony, I'm gonna say, see, I show you how Biz, the mind is the second thing to go. So just remember that the mind is the second thing to go. Mm-hmm. Tony has
What's
been
the first thing?
What? No, I'm gonna leave that one alone. Biz. But listen,
okay.
Biz, when Tony was given the opportunity for that, that illustrious position, Tony's exact words was. I ain't that old. I ain't retired.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, so I thought that was people that ain't racing no more.
Tony, have you ever heard of a living legend?
Yeah, heard of a legend, yeah.
Okay. Well, Jay, that needs to be done. That needs to be done this 2017. And we need to make a big deal about it. We need to take a spot out on cable.
I agree, but you got to get Tony in the right mindset. Tony was awarded the thing he said, I'm not that old. I'm not retiring. That's what Tony said, man. Yep. That's what Tony said.
Now, you know what? Generally speaking, everybody that goes in the Hall of Fame, like in basketball, football, baseball, they have to be retired. And then they have to be retired for some years. But
that's what I thought so too.
Okay. Well, now this is different. Other than you, Tony, taking you out of the category, do you know anybody else that's deserving to go in? And I'll probably have this topic next week when we get more callers on. Other than you, who else do you think that's deserving to go into the Grudge Hall of Fame, living or not living? or still racing or retired. Let's go with the still racing. Let's not go with what somebody.
But Dahl, also, I say positive. Dahl, problem.
He already in there. You know, they used to kiss. They got him in there already.
Dahl is deserving of the position, and he got it, you know. And, he was well deserving.
DJ, your mic is open. Go ahead, Jay.
No, I'm just saying, a big drag was deserving. He's in there. You know, I mean, the ones that's in, Lil Mo, he's in. Well deserving.
I know Lil Mo.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, the guys that's in, truly.
Name the ones that's in there, Jay. You said, don't.
Well, I know you're going to put me on the spot, bitch. I know you're going to put me on the spot where I got trying to come up with this. The O-Jacks.
That's four.
The O-Jacks. And, it would have been Tony Bynes. So it would have been five, out of the 5 years,
Okay.
And Tony
yeah.
declined.
Okay. We got that straight. We're gonna get. So Tony, do you
uh-huh.
have anybody else that you think that's deserving to go in the Grudge Hall of Fame?
No, not right now.
Okay. I'm gonna throw a name out there. Y'all tell me if I'm wrong or not. Edmund Hall.
Yep. Edmund Hall been racing. Long time.
Grudge racing? Or shootout racing?
He's been grudge racing, though. He's been grudge racing.
That's what I'm asking. I'm asking.
I disagree. Edmund is a good, he's a good racer. Done a lot for the sport, but not just per se grudge racing. Not just exemplify grudge racing.
Okay.
Not saying, I ain't going to just say that. It's all depending on. I can, as I think about it, he has grudge race over the years now. Now I don't know if you classify him as a grudge racer, though.
Hold on. Now, Edmund Hall has strong values and things about grudge race, but what you got to understand, I think we had a conversation about this before, it's hard, it's a lot harder to get action with that caliber type of car. Pro mod action is just far and few in between. He's always stood very strong on his grudge value. If you ever talk to him, he feels to the heart as being a true grudge racer himself.
Okay.
But I mean, how?
And I have to, what you're saying that he has won the Grudge Pro Mod of the Year, at least I think two of the last 5 years. So go ahead, dude.
Yeah. Okay, I got another thing.
To be able to grudge race, you gotta have somebody to grudge race.
Got to throw another name out there. Pro Stock Joe.
I think he's a Bible candidate. I think so.
Yep. Tony Wright, but not Tony Wright still racing.
Tony Wright. Yeah, Tony Wright.
What about my best buddy? The Rock. Did he do it long enough? Okay, now, and when you say Grudge Hall of Fame, now just say if Stephen Curry had a career-ending injury, would he go to the NBA Hall of Fame right now? Maybe not. So if we take the whole
right
body
now.
Of the Rock, right? If we take the whole body of the Rock. Did he do what he did in like 5 to 7 years, or did he do it from like 15 to 20 years? So
Rock with the Rock.
Hey, Biz, I want to answer that, and I would tell you, hypothetically speaking, on the way that the NBA is based, Stephen Curry would go into the Hall of Fame based on body of work up until this point, as he happened to suffer. Injury, because a lot of the times, majority of the people go in See, cause you know that saying, that song, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that ring. And he got two of them, and he happened to be the most deadliest 3-point shooter in the game. So I mean, it kind of like speaks for itself. So yeah, based on his body of work right now, yeah, he would definitely go. It might take him a longer time to get in, but he would go.
One thing I'm gonna go back to something that Tony Bynes said. He said consistency. That would be my only issue with The Rock. Now, The Rock, if you look at The Rock's career from back in the day, definitely Rock was a major, major, major player. But he left the scene for a number of years and then, you know, tried to come back, but came back. But he didn't come back to the same caliber of the racer that we all knew him to be. And
yeah, okay.
Since then, we don't see him. I mean, well, you know, I know he's got a track and doing all the things that nature, but, you know, I used to love to see The Rock when he was in rare form.
I
missed that.
When Michael Jordan came back, DJ, when Michael Jordan came back, when he came back to the Wizards, do you think he tarnished his legacy, Mike?
No.
Kind of, sort of?
No.
Okay.
No.
Why?
Okay.
How?
Okay.
How?
Well, okay. All right.
Hold on. You want me to ask her?
What, DJ?
My thing was I think sometimes it showed the love of the game and the love, you know, it showed the, you know, just like I said, when, like I tell people a lot of times, it's kind of easy to see somebody as a grudge racer. If it's in them, it's in them. A true racer, a true grudge racer, if it's in them, it's in them, and it's obvious it's in them, because they're constantly, even if they, you know, if they sit down for a reason, or they working on their program, whatever. But you can always know if it's in a person. Some people, you know, you got some fly by night grudge racers that really jump on the scene for different reasons, popularity, just to, you know, feel like I got some money I can throw at something, and they wanna buy a name instead of, you know, really being true and rooted to the grudge game, you know. Ain't nobody been as more consistent as Tony Bynes, period. I mean, everything y'all saying, the accolades, everything y'all saying about Tony, I mean, you just can't. It don't matter how you cut it, how you slice it. He is the epitome of what, you know, grudge racing is all about. The hustle.
Okay, but I brought the Michael Jordan thing up because did The Rock tarnish his image or his legacy when he came back? And he didn't dominate like he did when he was in it before.
No.
Yeah. I think The Rock did a little bit. And not so much. And this is what you got to understand it, because you know, time changed. The Promar game, or what he the type of car he used to run before that, you know, that just kind of died out.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm gonna bring somebody else.
Biz, I just want to say something. Okay, so everybody in life, whether you believe it or not, some people are always on the increase, and some people are always on the decrease. So if his body of work in the beginning was always increasing the game, and he brought action to the game, everybody can't stay on top for 20 years. Everybody don't have that the same longevity.
That's
so
true.
If you could do it for 10 years or 15 years, then guess what? He has 15 years of foundation that he laid out. And because he walks away from the game and he comes back, does that make him a lesser person? No, that doesn't make him a less person. That just mean that, or does that take away from the legacy that he has already set? No, that doesn't take away from it. It would only be take a narrow-minded person to take away 15 years of what he's given the game already, and then to turn around and now he's a track owner. So not only has he given 15 years? Now, I'm not saying, you know, that you're closed minded, DJ. So don't take it like that. I'm just speaking in general.
I just want to say one thing about it. Go ahead, keep going. Let me bring this point up. Let me bring this point up. What I was saying was, I'm not trying to downplay him as a person or anything that he's done. But the only problem that I'm saying that I see is when you come back in with the same mentality, which is that's how you're supposed to, like, I'm the best, I'm the baddest, but you can't back that back up. That's the issue. That, I mean, that's the thing that kind of makes, that waters down that person. And trust me, I'm not, I would never discredit anything the man, any man has done, or for the game, or for anything for that matter. But what I'm saying is, when you try to come back, when you sat out for a minute, and you try to still walk the same walk, but you're not able to do it.
All right. Now I'm gonna show you something. Now just look at this.
I got a new
call. This synopsis. This synopsis.
A new call. 336-2015. Your mic is open.
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm just sitting here listening.
What's going on?
What's happening?
All right. What's happening?
This bad storm, man.
Oh, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, just chilling. How you doing, buddy?
All right, been taking these, man. Been taking these.
I like the Rock. I love the Rock. I love the Rock's attitude, and I love what Rock brings to the game.
Right.
But it makes it hard. I mean, the problem is what I'm saying. And when I say this, it's like looking at it from Main Street.
Okay.
Everybody wants to see everybody, if they're competitive, they want to be the baddest at whatever that is they doing, whatever class they.
Okay.
And that's what we're used to seeing. That's where we're used to seeing Rock be. And I'm sure.
Okay.
And like I said, I'm talking. Rock could be working right now on something, and I'm totally fine with that because I would like to see him back where we want to see him at,
right,
where we're
sure.
used to seeing him at. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
What
right.
I'm saying is right now he's come back and he has not been able to fill that seat where we want
okay,
to
now,
see him at.
DJ,
see
DJ.
At.
Yes. But DJ, you got to be fair. Now listen to what you just said. You say he's not at the level to where you want to see him.
No, no, no. I said no. When I hold on. I said we as the people, and I'm sure
right.
you do also. What I'm saying is you're used to seeing Rock at his. We're used to seeing Rock talking
at his best.
We're used to seeing him being able to bag it up.
Right.
But
okay.
I want to
throw this out here. Okay, so let's take some answers. I'm going to use a sports icon, and I'm going to use Muhammad Ali. I'm going to say Muhammad Ali boxed, retired, came back. He wasn't the same Muhammad Ali, but he still went down as one of the greatest or the greatest to ever do it. So what I'm saying is it's always the body of work. It's always the body of work that you put in prior to your decline. And you have to judge a person based off of that.
Yeah, I understand. We can never discredit what somebody has done. What usually happens is sometimes us as men will come in and tarnish our own self.
By talking?
By not being able to, and sometimes maybe by talking, by not being able to do what we say we can do. I mean, Muhammad, okay. Like,
I mean, I ain't trying to cut you off and then go ahead.
No, what I'm saying, again, I want to reiterate, I'm not trying to say anything negative about no man that has done or made accomplishments.
We're not saying that you're saying anything negative. I mean, it's just a normal conversation.
So that's just like saying, DJ. What I want you to know is I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying.
Right. And I agree with you. I agree with you as well. So that's just like me sitting up here saying, "Hey, DJ, I know you. I used to watch you. Okay.
Yeah.
And there was a time in your racing career where you was on top, right? You felt
I was on fire. A lot of people
right now. You had a couple of incidents that kind of set you back, and then you came back, and then you was doing whatever it was you was doing, and then you went away, and then you came back again. But at the end of the day, does that stop you from being DJ Grant? Does that stop you from being the number one stunner? No, it does not, period. So we can't take that body of work from you and say, oh, well, you know what, DJ ain't shit nowadays because he ain't living up to the expectation of the fans. Uh-huh. And I think sometimes that's where the game goes wrong, because sometimes stop trying to live up to somebody else's expectations and live up to your own, and you'll be perfectly fine.
I agree, but what I'm saying to you is this is the thing. You know, it's like old saying that we always, like a lot of people like to say, grudge racing may be kind of sad, or some people may look at it the wrong way, but they always say grudge racing is, what have you done for me lately? You know, it's people that are out here right now. They lose a race and then they forgot about.
Let me say something, man. I get what you're saying, but what you're saying is you're looking at from the ain't nobody gonna be on top for health. And sometimes people look at shit and see that it ain't worth it. You know what I'm saying? When he bagged, you know what I'm saying? Just because at the time when Rock was racing big time,
you know, I put a picture.
At the time the Rock was racing big tires, well, hot big tires ain't what grudge racing been went in a total different direction.
So right, you're right. I agree.
I mean, really. I mean,
When I say what I'm saying, I'm speaking from that. I try to bring it from a perspective from the outside looking in, or from a fan point of view type of thing. I can understand wholeheartedly what you're saying, and I agree with you because you know, I know it. I live it. I know what it's like.
Without the driver.
But bottom line is, like I said, grudge racing looks at everybody a lot of times as, what have you done for me lately?
That's just like a grudge racer. I'm a grudge racer. I look at the game, and I ask, what have it done lately? The game ain't done shit. I mean, you got to look at it. I mean, it ain't grudge racing no more. It's entertainment.
Got it. Hi, is it low diners?
We got somebody talking. I don't know if they know they mic ain't muted.
Yeah, grudge racing is more entertainment now anyway than grudge racing.
Yeah.
I mean, all the real grudge racing now probably goes on on just regular test and tune night, because I mean, me, myself, if I got to speak for Rock, I think Rock is a top 10 grudge racer all the time.
How fast it, man.
I agree. I would have to agree. The only thing that I personally look at with Rock is the amount of time he sat out, and not to have had anything really going on as far as that I knew of, or maybe most knew of, as far as having to do with not saying he didn't have a race car, but just having nothing to do with racing altogether.
Name one racer besides Tony Bynes that been raced every year consistently.
No. I said, this is what I'm saying. What I was saying was, I think I remember kind of when he walked away from it because it just wasn't no fun for him no more. Okay. If I'm not mistaken.
Where you from?
I think that was one of his reasons for just walking. It wasn't no fun no more, and I guess that racing, the racing that he was doing, it kind of got to where, you know, it ain't that much fun if you can't race with three or four people, and then those three or four people don't want to race you no more.
I mean, as a grudge racer, I mean, I'm going to ask you this question. As a grudge racer, do you think the game's fun now?
The game went commercial.
I do. I mean, Rock seen it coming a long time ago. It just took everybody else this long to see.
Yeah.
Okay.
All I said, I look, it's one of those things where you want to see somebody come back like they left. It's hard to do, especially when you sit out a long time. If you're not really staying up on top of what's really going on out here, I mean, and I think he's admitted that too. He said, shoot, this game done changed, which it has. And it's like
it's going to continue to change. It's going to continue to change. And that's the best thing for it is that it has to evolve. I mean, anything that doesn't evolve is a dead factor. So, I mean, you want the game to evolve, but I mean, when you're using it, whatever tool you're using it for, you want it to work in your best interest. So, if you create something, then you know, you like if I make a song, you know, you're going to pay me for my song, and every time I hear it on the radio, I'm going to get royalties off of it. So if the game is to be played like that, then, hey, as long as it's beneficial to you, then, hey, you want it to evolve. But when it doesn't work in your best interest, then sometimes you have to, you know, you have to rethink things and come back. So,
you know, you go roll with it or get rolled over a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think the game right now is you know, right now, you know, from what I see, it's a lot of stiffs. It's just a lot of stiffs, man. It's tie sides, willy bars, and all of this that prevent people or keep people from grudge racing with each other. So, I mean, I don't necessarily think that it's the game that we call grudge racing. I just think it's the participants that's in it. That's all.
That's the main problem.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. And so once you eradicate or remove those people from it, or when you have everybody on the same accord, then it'd be a beautiful thing. If somebody could say, hey, I don't give a damn what tie size you got. If you beat me, you beat me. If it go back to that kind of grudge racing, then I'm pretty sure then, you know, it's going to be hell to tell a captain everywhere. But, I mean, like I said, everybody just got these stiffs. And the stiffs is what's actually hurting the game. The stiffs are hurting the game. And it's, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to build me a 28 tie car. And the next thing you know, you look over in the next lane, it's a pro mod with 28-inch tires on it. So, I mean, it's the game itself. You know what I'm saying? It has turned into an all-out hustle, all-out hustle. If we could get this money by any means necessary, we're going to get it. And I just think that, you know, y'all don't want to classify it as class racing, but I think it's going to have to be classified where it's going to have to be all class, you know. Because, you know,
it's definitely class race.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It has definitely turned into class racing. This tie size can't race this tie size. This can't do this. Conventional head can't race a big chief. One system can't run two systems. So, I mean, you can't have split the dominators. You got to have a single carburetor. It didn't got down to parts. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you pull it, you pick apart. And so now when I get to the line, I got to piece by piece pull your car apart before I even say, hey, I'm willing to grudge race you. I got to know everything that went into it, who your chassis build is, how much air pressure you got, do your seat belts work. It's just too much steps in the game right now. You take the steps away from the game and get back to grudge racing, the game is going to wake up. It's gonna be like you hit it with a 1,000 shot of nitrous when you get the
yeah, but that right there ain't gonna never happen because everybody's scared to lose money. They don't want to lose money and they don't want to hear no shit talk to them. So they ain't gonna never get back to where it was.
Yeah, just like how we said the game done evolved. That right there, I mean, certain things just ain't gonna go back.
Nah,
you know,
they ain't gonna never go back.
It's too much traveling. It's too much traveling going on for. But the stiff not to go down. Now, you're talking local.
The main problem is it ain't enough rivalry. You know what I'm saying? When grudge racing started, it was based on rivalries, hometown rivalries. Everybody going out to everybody's throat. And then when the promoters come in big time, everybody wanted to be a movie star instead of grudge racing.
Thank you.
Yeah. You pretty much summed it up right there. You know what I'm saying? And There's a lot of prima donnas in the game. I'll tell you that right now.
If I'm coming over to North Carolina, I'm just gonna be honest. If I'm coming over to North Carolina, I'm gonna try to match parts because I ain't never seen the car go. I can lay my eyes on the car and see, you know, if I'm in that same category, that same stratosphere. But if I don't know, if I ain't never came over to North and seen the car close, and I'm coming over there and I want to get a race locked in before I get there, and I'm traveling 8-9 hours, hey man, you got a small block? Okay, you got a. Single car later. Yeah, 28. Okay, cool. That's locked in.
Oh,
but other than that,
hey, be it.
I just can't.
Be it.
It's
a difference from being intelligent to being stupid. Okay, so if I'm traveling somewhere and I don't know you, then why am I going to jump on you and I don't know you? You don't know me, I don't know you. So let's get some particulars, let's work some particulars out. That's perfectly fine if you're trying to engage with somebody, okay?
Yes.
Talking about people that you know got the same shit you got, and then all of a sudden you want to act like you don't know exactly what they got. You got to hear them say it 50 times, I got a small block. One cast iron carburetor. I mean, how many times do the person got to tell you, hey, I got single cast iron carburetor, one system, so on and so on? How many times do you have to hear that in order for you to actually say, okay, I'm going to try them? Now, I do want to ask you this one question because I'm interested in it. Why do you say that a Malibu can't run a Mustang? Why do you say that?
Yeah, I didn't say it can't. I said can't.
Okay, well, why won't – okay, so my question to you is why you won't run a Mustang?
Because if I had a Mustang, the Malibu wouldn't run me. So same thing, what's good for the goose, good for the game. Same thing, make it last, make it cry. You know, and it's not that I won't run a Mustang. Hold on. It won't that I won't run a Mustang, but I will run a Mustang.
Okay.
But I'm not going to run no gutted out Mustang.
Okay. Okay, that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. Hey, DJ.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, now do you believe this, DJ? The game ain't going to change until the lower participants see the bigger participants lead by example. Meaning, when they start seeing y'all get up there and y'all ain't complaining about nothing and y'all use y'all name and y'all status for the right purpose, then the game going to fall in line because everybody going to say, oh, well, you know what? They doing it. The big guy's doing it. Why we can't do it? See, sometimes the game repeat itself. It recycles, but it has to start with somebody. Somebody has to initiate it in order for it to go back. If you don't initiate it and then you go with the rules and regulations that set forth before you already, then no, the bullshit going to continue because they don't see nobody that's big in the game stepping out and being their own person. Everything that everybody else is doing is recycled.
Yeah, I agree with a couple of things. Let me say this. Let me kind of cap a little bit. One thing you said was the quote unquote hometown rivalry. Now, like it's a group of guys that I look at as people I want to race, and they have evolved and changed. But the thing is, I look at it from a standpoint of either I'm going to evolve and race them, or I'm just going to have to say, hey, I don't want them props. Now, bottom line is, I'm not gonna lay down. So of course I'm going to evolve.
Right.
You know, but the thing is, just like if me and you had our own grudge, and you know, almost every time we see each other, we at each other's neck. I don't care what you do. You know, basically, I got this car. We both got the same car we've always had. But we ain't going to complain about what the other one done upgraded with their motor or whatever. We ain't going to complain about that because we want you and we want that car, period.
Right, right.
If I had to call out, me personally,
from what I've seen, if I called out a rivalry, I could say a rivalry would be D&D and Chevy's thing. Like every time they at the track, they like at each other. They don't care. They didn't race people. Yeah, I mean, they didn't race each other numerous amount of time. They don't care. One camp get to talking crazy, the other camp get to talking crazy, and then guess what? You get a grudge race out of it. So,
yeah.
I mean, it is definitely good for the game to have a rivalry. That is definitely good for the game. But like I said, sometimes, DJ, you know, y'all being key players in the game, y'all don't know how much
influence y'all have on the game until you use it. When y'all start using y'all influence and y'all start using y'all name to unlock these doors to these places, y'all going to realize that people going to fall and they're going to follow the rules that y'all set, not the ones that's already up there. When y'all start using y'all star power for the right reason, I'm telling you, the game's going to get right.
See, that's another thing. That's another thing. Hold up. That's another thing what's wrong with the game. There ain't no fucking stars.
I'm not.
I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But I'm saying, but that's really the problem with the fucking game. Is motherfuckers is big in these motherfuckers. He is up out here with these cars, making them think that they stars instead of fucking racers. If these motherfuckers start quit praising these motherfuckers and make them think that they better than everybody else, and just let them bitches be and keep racing, everything is going to fall into place.
That's the main thing
wrong with the fucking game right now is motherfuckers go to thinking they celebrities and shit that they control is the way this shit's supposed to go.
Yeah.
Man, motherfuckers come to the track, they put his pants on every morning just like I do.
Yeah,
I don't care about how much money this motherfucker got.
That shit don't bother me. Yeah,
you're
absolutely right. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, your common sense don't come into play also. I mean, if you got a $10,000 car, you know, and it ain't no guarantee that, you know, ain't no guarantee that who going to win in a grudge race. But if you got a $10,000 car that you built and then somebody else got a $200,000 car that they built, how likely are you to take that race?
You ain't going to take it.
My point is
that's the thing about it. We let them motherfuckers with them $200,000 cars, they supposed to battle each other, but they don't. They want to battle the motherfucker that got the $10,000
cars. And that's exactly what I'm saying right now. So when you start throwing these events, you got to throw these events in damn near a class racist form. You got to say, pro mods versus pro mods.
These
versus this, and this versus that, and this versus that. And you pretty much have to put them all in category in order to get this shit to function the right way. Because if not, then you're going to have mayhem everywhere. You're going to have pro mods trying to run 28 cars. If you get what I'm saying, it's just going to be a big cluster. So, If I'm a promoter and I'm promoting a race, you know, I'm gonna come up with a race like the Brawl for It All, and that's pro mod from all around the world, you know, a certain amount of car count for the pro mod. So now, I mean, the fans love the pro mods. Don't get me wrong, just like they love the shootouts, they love the pro mods. So make it where it's like a national pro mod, you know, you put a pot up there, and it's for the pro mods. And they can't come out of their category. They can't step down. They can't change their tie size. You give them a tie size that they got to wear. They got to wear that tie size the whole event until the event over. It ain't no change of tie size jumping into this class or jumping over here because you want to win the money over here. They ass got to be set over here in their class, racing the cars in their class, period. And that's how you put all of that together in a nutshell. You sometimes people only have power when you allow them to have power. Sometimes you just got to pull that power back. If you're the promoter, hey, they dance to your beat. Now, if they're going to come and participate, they're going to come and participate. If they don't want to participate, then they're not going to participate. But set it up where it benefits you and your fans. Simple.
Man, the problem, I feel you, but one of the main problems, the racers, is we as the racers, we got to take back the shit for ourselves. That's the problem.
Yeah.
We didn't get the fans. The fans has got too much fucking power on what goes on with your car. The promoter got too much fucking power that goes on with your car. And half the time, there's certain motherfuckers in your camp got too much power that goes on with your car. See, that's what the fucking problem is with racing. The motherfuckers that got too much power is the motherfuckers that's fucking the game up.
But those happen to be the people that's not racing. So how you going to let a person that ain't racing or won't rent somebody in the same class as him fuck the game up? Sometimes you just got to look past certain people.
And some camps do, and some camps don't.
You got to look past certain people.
Yeah, exactly. You got to look certain past other people.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you got certain motherfuckers, they think proving who the fastest is a grudge race. That shit ain't got nothing to do with grudge race. It ain't about who the fastest, it's about your hustle. It's who the best grudge race, who win the most race, who win the most money. It ain't got shit to do with the fastest. Every time you turn around, oh, it's a shootout. Oh, we going to put all this money up and win or take out. Man, that's who's watching the game up. Shit like that. And I ain't even going to speak of favoritism. That's definitely one of the main players in the game right now.
Yeah, that's what it has evolved, and it's you know, it's about money, man. It's about money, for sure. It's about how much money I can make off of this thing. And so, you know, we all, you know, it's a lot of guilty on that. But man,
me and Jay, we talk about this all the damn time, man. If all the razors start sticking together with the real razor, shit would get better, but it ain't gonna never happen.
You got too many clicks, you know. You have too many clicks, too many groups, too many agendas, and if you're not, you know, I mean, everybody has an agenda. Grudgy has an agenda. Every other, you know, promoter in person, they have their agenda, and they feel that they're right in their own mind. So, you know, you're going to have this discord, you're going to have this division amongst the people that can make these things happen. So, you know, you're still going to have your events where, you know, everybody going to come together and we'll have a good time and going to wait, you know, till next year. So, but in order to get, you know, real change, proper change, you know, I'm gonna say this: it wasn't a problem 15 years ago when the track didn't have any promoters, and we were just coming in paying our money, and track almost made all the money, and didn't have to really give out no money. They didn't have to do no shootouts 15 years ago. It was nice and dandy when it was like that. But now, you know, some of the guys seen that, you know, they can capitalize on some of these things. Now I've become a cluster. Now I've become, you know, I'm not going over there to support him because, you know, he ain't giving me nothing. You know, but 15 years ago, you know, track on and do your damn thing. You damn near beat that gate down. So, you know, it's all messed up now, man. It's all messed up when it comes to, you know, growth racing. So, but, you know, it may get better, it may not. So you just got to keep doing what you think is best for your program. You know, you got to keep doing what you think is best for your program and your team. So. And as the old saying says, support who supports you. If that's how you feel, then do your thing. So, you know,
that's what's really supposed to be the key, support who supports you. But when you support a motherfucker, and then when your turn come around, you'll see. We done been there, done that route too. Yeah. I mean, these motherfuckers, man. I mean, as a racer, we sit back, we see the whole shit that goes on. We know who it is. You know what I mean? That's the sad thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
We know who the motherfuckers is that's doing this shit, and we still won't do nothing about it.
No.
That's why, you know, like, man.
I love this way. In the day, I love this time. I love this grudge racing thing, man. It's a lifestyle to me. It ain't one day that goes by and I don't think about a race or my race car or something related to racing. Not one day, probably not an hour goes out to a day.
I know that's right.
I agree.
Something about what I could, you know, what I could do about racing, my race car, my race program, where I want to go, something. I know I probably passed an hour, but I know it ain't been a day.
Every day I wake up thinking about this stuff. This stuff is, ooh, man. I hate to get hooked on crack, because if it's any worse than this, God, dog, it's got to be bad, because this drug, this drug is bad.
You is on crack, Biz. It's called C16. You on crack?
No, that's
you
right.
Get your, you get you whatever it is. Lately, yeah. You ain't listening. You get you a 5 gallon hit every time you go and purchase one. It's just a different form of drug. That's all I can tell you. And this one gets your adrenaline going. So it's a difference,
amen.
But. Hey, like I say,
I know something wrong with me. I took two nitrous bottles, to the nitrous man, and I gave that man $160 to fill up two nitrous bottles. There's something physically, mentally, and emotionally wrong with me to give a man $160 to fill up two nitrous bottles. and my driver get on the line and purge it out in the air. Something is freaking wrong with me, because I done got the bottle pressure too high, and I just gave this man 160, and he's purging it in the air, purging it, just blowing my money out of the air. What? Something is mentally wrong with me.
But no, it's not, Biz, because guess what? All of that nitrous that he purging out in the air. If that wind light come down on that other end, somebody else money was just going out in the air, because they paid for that. You didn't pay for it. They paid for it.
Yes, sir.
Ain't nothing in the world better than this shit. If this is what you like to do, that shit gets frustrating sometimes. It definitely gets frustrating sometimes, but it's way worth the wait when you get that motherfucker that you've been out of.
I promise you. And that's what goes back to what I was saying. When you know it's in you. When it's in you, it's in you. You can, a lot of times you can tell some of the jokers that maybe fly by night that they get into it for the other reason. But you know, it's obvious when you can tell when a person, a lot of times they voice when they're talking, it's deeply rooted in you.
See what it come to now. You got to trick these motherfuckers. You can't get them by just. You got to trick them now. That's the hard part about it. You got to figure out how to make that trap.
Exactly.
You got to figure out how to get them motherfuckers in that trap. Hey, these motherfuckers are so many races. They gonna try to duck you. When your car blowed up, they talking all kind of shit about how bad they want to race it. Then as soon as your car fixed, and 2-3 races on the same date. You gotta figure out
then they
want to
be down with you.
Yeah, you gotta learn how to trick these motherfuckers. I done figured that out. I done got past that part.
I got a call yesterday, and a guy, I'm thinking they called me on something else. They called me on the morning show, and old Brian O said, "Biz, I'm ready to lock in." Ooh wee! All right, let's lock in. Took us about 3 minutes, and we got that race locked in. Got the particulars out the sea, and that's how I like it, man.
That comes from two parties that want to race each other, though. So that's how this shit's supposed to be. That comes from two camps that y'all want to race.
Yep. Biz, do you remember the first conversation me and you ever had in life?
Yeah.
How long did it take me and you to try to get something locked in the race?
Not long, BJ. Not long.
No time.
Not long.
You wanted my head, I wanted yours. And we didn't even know each other.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It don't take long at all. When you got two parties ready to go.
If both parties ready to go, it don't take long.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Hey, DJ.
DJ.
Hey, DJ. That's the difference between you checking your own temperature and somebody else got to check it.
Yep.
Oh, I think I got a fever today. Compared to, hey, it is what it is, man. If you want to go, ain't nothing in the world gonna stop you from going, no matter what somebody in your camp got to say, no matter what somebody on the outside got to say. If you feel like you got your man dead to rights and you want to go, you gonna go.
That's it. That's really the main thing. The real racers, that's how they operate. The entertainers, they don't operate like that.
Well, we got about 15 seconds. Hey, guys, this next Tuesday, same time, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, we're going to be back on Tipsy Tuesday, man. Tipsy Tuesday, Grudge Inc. Talk show. This is your boy, Chi-Town Biz. Thank all the guys that called in. And y'all have a good week, productive week, and we'll see you next Tuesday, Lord's will. All right.